I'm going to be starting in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6. And I'm going to start at verse 10. All right. Everybody ready? All right. Chapter 6 of Deuteronomy, first verses 10. It says, "And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things, which thou fillest not, and wells digged, which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full. Then," verse 12, "then beware, lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." I had a conversation with my sister and my mother. It was on the same day, and they knew nothing about it. I didn't mention anything, and it was an odd conversation. So I thought it was strange that such an odd conversation is something that's not really discussed would come up on the same day with two different people who knew nothing about the conversation. We were talking about how painful it is when you are not given credit, how painful it is to be forgotten. And there was a situation both times, and you know, that was mentioned between both of them. They had really kind of put themselves out there to help someone else, which is no surprise. That's what you would expect from, you know, your brothers and sisters in Christ. We're supposed to help one another. You know, help our neighbor, love our neighbor. And in a perfect world, we do it out of the love that Christ has for us, out of the love that is placed in our hearts from Christ, expecting nothing in return. That's what love does. Doesn't expect anything in return. But if we are going to be honest, and I think now is as good a time as any to be honest. When you do for people and they tell the story of how they got through, on a good day, they may give glory and honor to God. But when your name should be mentioned second, and as they're recalling the story, you don't hear your name mentioned, it can bother you. You might not be angry, but just the fact that it was mentioned again years later means that you do think about it. It's still not that it's a sore spot, not that you haven't forgiven them, not that you are saying that, well, things aren't going to be right until I get the credit that I deserve for helping this person to get to where they needed to be. You're not saying that, but you haven't forgotten it. God often does that through Scripture. He is constantly reminding the disciples and anybody really who he is. And God is big on memories. There are, if Google is correct, there are over 71 times in the Bible where God talks about remembering, or Jesus talks about remembering, forget not this, forget not my benefits, remember me in your time of affliction. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 8, just a couple chapters over, and we'll start at verse 2. Have you ever noticed in Scripture, and as I read these, you're going to see where God leaves landmarks, if you will. He doesn't just say, remember me. He will tie it to a specific event. He'll say, remember me, as in the one we just read, when I brought you out of Egypt. It's always tied to an event. He always leaves you a landmark for a specific purpose. If you've ever been in a dispute with somebody and your character comes into question, you never just say, hey, I had your back. Hey, you know I love you. You always, in your mental Rolodex, have to tell them, I loved you because remember when. Yes, I've got your back. Remember when you were stranded and you couldn't get home from work. Remember when 3 months ago you were laid on an electric bill. You're always tying your love and your character to something. You're giving them a landmark just in case they may have forgotten who you were and what you've done for them. Well, God does that too. Chapter 8, verse 2. You know what? Let's start at chapter 8, verse 1. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply, and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. Here we go, verse 2. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. Remember why? To humble thee, and to prove thee, and to know what is in thine heart. Are you going to remember me after the promise is fulfilled? You said that you love me. You said that you learn. You said that, you know, we're all in this thing. You gave me my glory. You gave me my honor. But once you're there, will you remember me? Go to let's go to Isaiah chapter 46. And we'll start at verse 3, but in chapter 46, the first verse and the second verse, the scriptures are talking about two gods, little g gods, two idols. And God does a really clear job of explaining who he is versus who these idols and other gods are. So in verse 3, he says, hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb. And even to your old age I am he. And even to gray hairs will I carry you. I have made past, and I will bear future. Even I will carry and will deliver you. God has the past, the present, and the future pretty well covered. And he doesn't have a problem letting you or anyone else know that. 5 says, to whom will you liken me and make me equal? and compare me that we may be alike. I'd be saying, tell me something that I don't know. Tell me, just give me an inkling of who you might know, or what God out there could I possibly be compared to? How am I like any of them? Six says, they lavish gold out of the bag and weigh silver in the balance and hire a goldsmith, and he maketh it a god. I think that's a telltale sign right there. If you make a god, then that automatically disqualifies you from being compared to a true God who made all things. I don't think I want to worship a God that I had to make. I want to worship a God that made me.
Amen.
And crazy enough, it says in 6 that the gods that they have made, they fall down and worship them. Then the scripture says they bear him upon the shoulder. They carry these gods and set them in his place. And he standeth. From his place shall he not be removed. Yea, one shall cry unto him, yet he cannot answer, nor save him out of trouble. You know, I thought about, you know how we used to have those army men, right? Or action figures. And no matter how hard we played with these action figures, and we had sound effects. See, we had to make all the sound effects. So when somebody got hit, it was, you know? And then you make the gun noise, you know, whatever. But, and, you know, they did all kinds of stuff and got passionately embroiled in this battle with both sides. But, you know, no matter how loud I scream or how good that I can make this war appear, the men are still just like this. And then I say, hey, somebody's coming behind you. I got to pick him up and turn him around. And that's what God is saying. That's the how ludicrous this is, and it's funny. And, you know, we had even with Dad said that the toys that he would spend the most money on for us, a lot of times those would end up not being played with. And then he'd bring out something simple like some marbles. And we'd be occupied for like all afternoon shooting marbles, you know, 99 cent. One thing he got us, and it was, we take this toy on vacations, or we take it going to the supermarket. My brother and I, you know, in an effort to keep us at peace in the back seat, one of the best things my dad ever got us was a magic eight ball. And we just thought that maybe by chance, like when we shook the eight ball, we asked a question. And maybe by chance, like, this thing might be onto something. It might be accurate. But I got to learn the magic eight ball, so much so that I could almost predict the responses that I would get to my various questions. And I learned quickly that there were a lot of shortcomings with the magic eight ball. A lot of times the answer that it would give would not be relevant to the question that I'd ask. Hey, you know, should we go to King's Dominion or Busch Gardens? And that one of the responses would be, concentrate and ask again later. Or it'll say, the outcome is doubtful. Resoundingly, yes. God is not this way. Whenever you have to fashion something, it's not God. Whenever you have, with the A-ball, I had to tailor my questions just to remotely try to coax it into giving me an answer that made sense. But our God is not like that. I thought about it. We want to be remembered, right, for the things that we've done and we've helped people to accomplish. It's nice to be remembered because it makes you feel appreciated. We all want to feel appreciated. Whether it happens or not all the time, it doesn't matter. We still feel good when someone acknowledges us for something that we've done. And I figured, you know, well, that's what this is all about. Hey, this is an easy one. Let's just acknowledge God. God, if I like to be remembered, if I like to be appreciated, then, hey, how much more would God like to be remembered and appreciated for the things that he's done? But why does he have to mention it 71 times? Usually memories are accompanied by hearing. He would say, hear, O Israel, then remember. Hear my words. Hearken unto my voice. Then forget not. You have to first listen and hear something and ingest it in order to remember it in the first place. But I still, why 71 times though, God? And the answer isn't as simple as just taking how it makes us feel and just saying, well, God must feel the same way. He just wants to be appreciated. End of story, case closed. It's actually a lot deeper than that. God tells us to remember, remember, remember. Then he ties it to these landmark events. What happens when you don't remember? What happens with memory loss? I looked it up, and it led me to some articles on Alzheimer's. It led me to articles on dementia. And some of the symptoms of memory loss are things like, and I'll read, it's a short list. It says, with memory loss, one symptom is forgetting instructions, forgetting words, mood changes, apathy or loss of interest, difficulty performing, confusion, repetition, meaning that, I mean, if you think about the children of Israel, because they were not remembering certain things that God said, they were punished and they had to wander around for longer than need be. Another symptom is no sense of direction. Difficulty adapting. So I say, God, that's not good. Maybe the dangers of natural memory loss could be the same as spiritual memory loss. Then God took me in Luke, where Jesus was in Samaria, and he said, well, you know, go prepare this place in Samaria. But Jesus was also fixed toward Jerusalem, and I guess the Samaritans didn't like that. He said, well, he's not really interested in us anyway, so they tried to prepare a place in Samaria. They would not receive Christ. They didn't want to have anything to do with it. What do the disciples do? Well, if that's how it's going to be, Jesus, we have an idea. Let us call, would you like us to call down fire from heaven and destroy them for not receiving us? And what does Jesus say? Have you forgotten what manner of spirit you are of? Memory loss is dangerous.
Yes, yes, yes.
He said, I came to save man, not to destroy them. And you should know that. It said Jesus rebuked them, meaning that if Jesus rebukes you for something, it's because you should know better. It's something that you've already been exposed to. It's information that you were privy to already, and you didn't remember. A rebuke is a strong reminder. Then I went to Peter, and I saw some of these same natural symptoms of memory loss, the being afraid or difficulty adapting. Peter said, man, you're not going to put your hands on my brother Jesus. So what does Peter do? Cuts the servant's ear off. Because he's just like, I'm not having that. Jesus says, man, should I not drink of the cup that my father gave me? What is wrong with you? Memory loss. He forgot the mission. He forgot why Jesus had come. He forgot all of the stuff Jesus said about, I'm going to give my body. I'm going to be betrayed. This is my body. Do this in remembrance of me. And then when it was time for him to give his body, Peter didn't recall any of that. Memory loss is dangerous because it will cause you to act out of character. When you forget the things that God has said to you, you become afraid. You're out of character. You forget the promises. Next thing you know, you're afraid. What am I going to do in this situation? I'm angry. Why? Because there's something that you're not remembering. Because memory loss is dangerous. So I looked up some questions concerning the degree of memory loss. And this is from the Mayo Clinic. And it almost reminds me of some of the questions that Jesus would ask his disciples when they were suffering from memory loss. The Mayo Clinic says to determine the degree of memory loss or the cause or the diagnose of cause, these are some of the questions you might ask. Do you feel sad, depressed, or anxious? Have you had a major loss or change or a stressful event to happen to you? And my favorite questions, it says, how much do you drink alcohol? My next favorite question is, are you taking any new drugs? Being in a situation that, not that you don't know God, not that you don't walk with God, but being in a situation, if you get caught the right way, if it knocks the wind out of you, it can cause what we say is memory loss. If something happens and it's just cataclysmic and it just like knocks you off your feet, whether it's a loss of a person, a loved one, the death of a relationship, you can easily forget who God is and what his way is out of that situation. You can easily forget how last year you were in a similar situation that he brought you out of. That's why God also likes to leave, again, landmarks, because it helps you to remember not just who he is, but what he has done and what he will do. It helps give you some type of reference point for, all right, if he did it over here last year, then he'll do it over here. That's why he makes it a point to explain to us in the word clearly how he never changes. There's no shadow of turning. The moon appears differently just depending on the rotation of it. God doesn't do that. He, no matter what, every time you look at him, every time you come to him, you can always expect the same God. And these landmarks are just so you can have perspective, just so you can begin to grasp who he is and what he can do. It just helps you to keep track of who he is as a person. That's why it's important to remember, remember, remember. What was even more dangerous about memory loss and some symptoms are acting out of character, mood swings, having trouble finding directions, being disoriented. The heart of the matter is why God says so many times to remember, and you'll help me with this one. What two people in here are very close? It can be sister, brother, whatever. Who's very close? I have some questions. What? I got to go home. Remember that. So, no. All right. So, I'll ask you, Mom, first. would you consider dad to be a best friend? Why is that? Well, oh, stop. That was premature. Are you having a good time right now? Are y'all laughing and joking right now? Okay. Are you depending on him for something at this very moment? Why did you say that I can depend on him? We laugh and joke, and he's just all around fun. Why did you say these things? You have evidence. History. What if every day you started anew and couldn't remember what he had done the day before? Where would your connection be? So do you, when he came through for you, when he would come up to work because the car wasn't working right, or he'd come and pick you up if you were stranded, what if you didn't remember that stuff? Who would he be to you? The reason why, the reason why God tells us to remember so much and over again, because where there are no memories, there's no relationship. There's no connection. If you can't look at your Christian walk, and if you're looking at God with the mentality that he's only as good as what he's going to do today, you have no relationship. We have no bond or no chance of a relationship where there are no memories. If I can't establish a track record with you, if I can't have you recall evidence of when you could depend on me, how would you call me trustworthy? You don't know. You don't know. You're just looking at today. And then tomorrow I got to start over again. One thing that God has always desired from us from the beginning was connection. But the only way we can be connected to him is through our memories. It's through our remembrances of him. As often as ye do this, do it in remembrance of me. Why? Because that's the only thing that's going to bring us together. I remember when my granddad was about to depart this world. I didn't really want to hear it. I didn't go there all the time. A couple of times I'd stop by, but when my mom would say, it gotten to a point where she started having to remind him of who people were that were coming in and out, even though those were his children that he loved dearly. But he didn't remember. Who is that one? Oh, you know, my mom would say, oh, you know, that's your second girl. That's your daughter. That's BB. Who with my food? Oh, you know, that's your baby. That's Aunt Jessie. That's Jessie. That's your baby. Baby girl, you know, girl. What was painful is that he had lost the connection because he had lost the memories. So they were just people in and out. It wasn't his daughter. It wasn't his son. This is not what God desires for us. Amen. What are we doing in the morning when he says, give thanks? Thanking him for what? The things that he's done. Yeah. What, just so what, he can get an attaboy, or you think he needs a pat on the back from us? No, The thing is, when you remember what I've done for you, it makes me feel good. It's for my benefit. When you remember what God does for you, it's actually for your benefit. Because he knows how valuable the connection is. He wants us to connect with him through remembering what he's done, what he's brought us from. I think I'm done. I am done.